Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. John, the 11th chapter, verses 38 to 57. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor John Perling from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, Beverly Hills, California.
Lazarus was dead, at least temporarily, but only Jesus knew that. Two sets of people were present beside the immediate family to observe the occasion. The first group were the professional mourners who knew that the more loudly the crying and more gesticulating the bodily activity, the more the stipend would be at the end of their performance. These men and women of Bethany and the surrounding area were well schooled in their trade. They were, after all, several steps higher than the poor beggars who populated the city streets with their hands held out for alms, or even the lepers who were not even able to get close enough to beg, but depended on coins left at strategic locations for them to find. Yes, they were very proud of their vocation, as it afforded them time to travel, exercise to improve their health, and a healthy fee at the end of it all. If any of them had heard about Jesus, and it was almost impossible not to have heard about this rabbi claiming to be the Messiah, they would have viewed him as a threat to their special work. And so now, after 4 days of this wake, Jesus comes into the scene with his disciples. A rebuking welcome first is given to him by the sisters, who feel that his place should have been with them in order that the brother might still be alive. Then two activities take place. First, Jesus wept. Now, in the Greek, this is an aggressive aorist, and probably better translated, he burst into tears. The second remark is, he was, quote, "once more deeply moved," unquote. Now we have to ask the question, why? It seems incongruous for sorrow to be on the part of our Lord, since in his omniscience, the restoration of life was about to happen for Lazarus. A better answer may be that in his weeping and sorrow, He was doing that on behalf of the professional mourners, since Jesus further states that all of this was being done, quote, for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Only after he prayed, then, on behalf of the people standing there, did Jesus continue with the task before him. So much for the first group of the people at the wake. The second group present were the Jews, who had come to visit Mary and then rushed to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. These self-serving talebearers were also worthy of the tears of the Savior. Once they brought this message to the Pharisees, and especially to Caiaphas, the high priest that year, Jesus' fate was sealed. No one, and especially this itinerant rabbi from Galilee, was going to challenge their authority. They were in charge of the religious life of the Jewish people, and raising the dead was far beyond their powers to duplicate. Something had to be done, and Caiaphas said it well, as he, in effect, pronounces the death sentence on Jesus. But where are we in this account? Do we see ourselves as the family members who feel Jesus was not responsive enough to our troubles? Or perhaps we are the mourners who seek to feather our own nest at the expense of others who are in sorrow and distress? Or maybe we are those who go out of our way to make the gospel message a difficult thing for others to hear. All three of these groups are worthy of the tears of Jesus. All three are consumed by law and saw no gospel in their situation. But there is one that remains, only one beside Jesus who had cause for rejoicing, only one who was the recipient of the gospel message in all of its full strength, and that was Lazarus. Pray, God, that God in Jesus might still weep over us in our sinful state, and yet through the tears of faith we yet can hear him loudly shout out for us to hear, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Brothers and sisters, we are forgiven. We are free." Amen.
We thank Pastor John Perling from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, Beverly Hills, California, for today's meditation on God's Word.